Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borag Thung Earthlets, welcome to another edition of the 2000 AD Thrillcast, and it's our merchandise special. So all those collectors out there, everyone who likes to have a nice little bit of 2000 AD or Judge Dredd merchandise sitting on their shelves, this episode is for you. For those who aren't collectors, it's also very interesting because we have some insight into the process behind some of the merchandise that you see on offer through our social media and our adverts. Thank you to everyone who's given us some great support for the 2000 AD Thrillcast over the last couple of weeks. It was a real pleasure to see us named on a list of the top 32 podcasts alongside some fairly big names. So thanks to everyone for helping spread the word about the Thrillcast. What's coming up this week? Well, in terms of the comics that we have out, there's Prog 1938, which should be out today in print and digital. It's got Judge Dredd, it's got Jaeger, it's got Outlier, it's got Helium, which I'm really enjoying, in Ian Edgington and Disraeli, and it has Absalom by Gordon Rennie and Tiernan Trevelyan, which again is another personal favourite, all shaping up very nicely. If you're not reading 2000 AD, then what you need to do is either pick it up in print or download one of our apps. Now, I mentioned this a little while ago. 2000 AD has a new app for Apple devices. There was a little bit of a delay. Thank you, Apple. But we have now officially moved most of our stuff off Apple Newsstand and onto its own standalone app. If you go to the Newsstand app, it will redirect you. The Newsstand app now publishes 2000 AD every week, but if you want graphic novels, if you want Judge Dredd magazine, if you want special, if you want freebies, then the new app is the place to go for it. So make sure that you search iTunes for 2000 AD featuring Judge Dredd, and you'll be able to download the new app. We are also available on Android devices. To celebrate the launch of the new app, we have some fantastic bundle deals. So you can go in and pick up an entire year's worth of Progs or Megs and save up to 27%. This covers Progs from 2010, 2011, and 2012. As the months go on, we will be adding further back issues in yearly chunks. And so keep an eye out on the 2000 AD Thrill Mail and also on the social media on Facebook and Twitter for the latest bundle deal. Also, next week, when there won't be a Thrillcast, there is going to be a new Judge Dredd magazine, number 362. For those of you who jumped on board with 361, please do let us know what you thought about the lineup of stories, including Judge Dredd, El Maldito, Demon Nick, Storm Warning, and the new series of Lawless. It's a fantastic package, tons of stuff to really sink your teeth into, and a really quite spooky cover by Alex Ronald. Now, the big thing about this week is that it is San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, and 2000 AD will be there at booth 2806 if you're able to make it. If you're unfortunately not able to be there, don't worry about it. We're bringing the announcements to you. So this is, like I said, our merchandise special. So we have three special guests. Four, technically. We have Dan Carey George from Planet Replicas. For those of you who have one of his judge badges or one of the lawgiver replicas, he's got some really nice stuff coming up. We have Gregory Prout from 3A, who do those amazing articulated figures, which just look absolutely fantastic. And we have Dan Willett from Unbox Industries, who've just recently bought out a Star Wars figure size Zombo figure. And he's got lots of information about what they have coming up. We also have in the studio, and welcome, Keith Richardson, who is not just our graphics novels editor, he's also our licensing guy. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up merchandise-wise for 2000 AD, so stay tuned. And I'm joined in the studio by Robo Keith. Welcome to the Thrillcast again, Keith.
Thanks ever so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sorry, just the look on your face. All right. Then. Okay. So, merchandise. We're going to be spending this week talking about some of the various things that you can get branded with 2000 AD, and we're going to have a chat with a couple of the key licensees about some of the exclusive special merchandise that they've got coming up later this year. Now, yes. Keith, you're our licensing guy. You're the guy who does all these deals.
I occasionally take off my editorial head in the Wurzel Gummidge stylings, mm-hmm. and I put on my merchandising head. That is correct, yes. And I handle a bit of licensing.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a bit about what that involves, because I think a lot of people have misconceptions about how licensing works, because they say, you know, oh, this person should do this, but yeah. It's your job to be gatekeeper, really, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Well, it's essentially just kind of finding brands and products that kind of complement our IP quite well, and finding companies that are passionate about 2000 AD and our characters and just want to make decent product. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, finding companies that can get this decent product out to retailers and kind of raise our profile outside.
Yeah.
Is always a kind of secondary importance, but first and foremost, it's just about having good stuff out there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's plenty of demand for it.
Now, we sit in the office on a daily basis, all clad in licensed gear.
my cupboard is almost entirely made up of 2000 AD t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Even 2000 AD underpants, believe it or not. I've got a couple of pairs of Dread underpants.
I don't think we needed to know that.
Oh, it's awful. They're beautiful.
But in terms of the stuff that we've got out there, what are the kind of licensees that we work with?
Well, I guess some of the biggest licensees would be people like Funko,
yeah,
who make those kind of lovely little vinyl figures.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you go to a con, you can't help but not see Funko figures. Even as late as last week, I saw Funko figures being sold in my local Sainsbury's. So,
wow.
I mean, they're absolutely massive at the moment. And then you've got the likes of Free A, who make some absolutely amazing action figures and have made a few for us already.
Yeah.
Mezco, likewise, who have just made a fantastic Dread, which has been up for pre-order already, and people should be getting that soon. And, you know, smaller companies who like Planet Replicas, who have the amazingly talented Daniel Carey George, a fantastic sculptor who's just made some beautiful products and replica costumes. So there's a whole wide array of different companies. I could go on, you know. Vice Press we have as well, who are doing these kind of original art prints. And,
yeah, we just announced that one, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. There's so many. We've got so many. And, of course, Plastic Ed, who do a wide variety of t-shirts. They're all very good quality. So we have lots of different licensees covering lots of different areas.
Why do we license things? Quite a few people ask this because we obviously have a shop that has a limited selection of t-shirts and various other things. There was somebody on Facebook the other day saying, "Well, why aren't you guys making this stuff? Why do we license stuff?"
Well, first and foremost, we're working with people that can make the stuff that they've got an expertise in what they do,
yeah,
and they've got an expertise in getting it out to the market. Now, we could make stuff ourselves, we could get companies to make stuff ourselves. It costs an awful lot of money. We've not got any kind of particular expertise in a lot of these kind of fields.
Yeah.
And just to sell it from our shop, I mean, we've got lots of lovely fans, but you know, there's not that many that kind of would find that stuff on our store. And of course, you know, we want to get this stuff out into the marketplace. We want to kind of get new fans interested in 2000 AD.
Mm.
Like, case in point, recently we had a new licensee called Heroin Skateboards. Very dodgy name, I know. Not at all. They're lovely. Their product's brilliant. Now, the Heroin Skateboards, they're extremely popular in the States. And Foz, who kind of runs Heroin Skateboards, he's got a massive fan base over there. And a fan base that's quite significant in the UK as well. And he's already told me that, you know, there's been young people who like, he's just had these Dark Judges skateboards, and these young guys who don't have a clue about who the Dark Judges are all of a sudden taking interest. And you know, it's about bringing the 2000 AD brand to a wider audience at the end of the day, and also having great stuff out there in these high street stores that people can see and pick up that wouldn't necessarily visit our or find our web shop.
Yeah, yeah. What's your favourite piece of merch, licensed merchandise that we've done?
That is a terrible question to ask me. I cannot answer that. Everything is lovely, including, yes, you minority, including the 2080 pillowcases.
Mm.
It's all great stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. We don't take on any bad licences.
No. No, absolutely. But you know what's coming up. You're the guy. Is there one thing that's about to come out or you're talking about in the future that you're really excited about?
Oh yeah, I would say there's about 5 or 6 things coming up in the near future that I'm really excited about. Some of which actually will probably end up being sold on the shop anyway, on our web shop.
Okay.
But it's always great. I mean, I personally get a thrill walking into a comic store and just seeing our products in that store. Mm. Stuff beyond the comics and the graphic novels. It's great to kind of see T-shirts on display and seeing kind of like little models in, on the store, you know, especially places like Forbidden Planet in London where you go upstairs and they have all the merch. It's great seeing people picking up the T-shirts and having a giggle at, you know, the kind of Fatty's Gym T-shirt and stuff like that. There's quite a lot of product coming up that I'm really happy about. I think there's a lot of product coming up that the fans are going to love as well.
Mm, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us again, Keith. We're going to talk to Dan from Planet Replicas and Greg from 3A.
Give them my love.
I shall. Thanks for coming on and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Okay, licensing head off and editorial head back on. Goodbye.
So the first licensee that we're going to talk to as part of this merchandise special is a company that's been with us for a little while and has been very popular with some of their replica items, and that is Planet Replicas, and we have Dan Carey-George on the line. Welcome to the Thrillcast, Dan.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So tell us a little bit about Planet Replicas for those people who haven't seen your wares.
Planet Replicas, we design and manufacture prop replicas and collectibles for the film, TV and comic industries. So,
okay, brilliant, yes. Brilliant. How did your connection with 2000 AD come about?
Oh, I'll try and keep it as short and brief. It's probably one of the best worst kept secrets. I'm a model maker, or was a model maker by trade, and I did the original costumes and effects for Judge Minty.
Mm. That's the fan film that Steve Sterlachini and Steve Green put together.
And this was purely something we did off our own backs, and the work itself was made to look fantastic thanks to the two Steves on Judge Minty. And that kind of got me under the radar of Keith, your guy at Rebellion for licensing. And that was really way back in sort of 2004 2005.
Mm.
And I let Keith know that sort of doing something for 2000 AD was always a career goal. We didn't really ever discuss what exactly, but we stayed in touch, and yeah, it took about 6 years. It was 2011 that something came up that was worth pursuing, and that was the prop replica license.
Mm.
And Keith put it to us, and it went from there. So it was kind of a very long process of just staying in touch, and yeah, it was well worth the wait. So
absolutely. So tell us about the prop replicas that you now offer, because it's quite a big range now, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Yes. Mm. It was one of the things that happened between the start of sort of the contact with Rebellion in 2004 going on to 2011 was that I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know what. So all of that time was literally spent on Google.
Mm.
As my job being a model maker, I kind of knew how to make things, but it was turning it into an ongoing business with manufacturing, etc. So my range originally kind of came out of that research, and that really helped massively. So I was, the first kind of stuff we did was keychains.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based around the Dread badge that the original badge Steve did at Judge Minty was one version, and I tweaked it to really lie between the version we already had existing and the version that was in the comic, the sort of more classic version, but that had already been done. And I didn't want to repeat sort of work that had gone already. Yeah. So the original big hero prop that we did was the Full Metal Dread Badge. And that's how that came about. And it was a spin-off from the keychains. And then we did the Mark II. So, yeah, it's kind of been quite a... I try and just think what would be nice, what would I like in my range, and we sort of try and see if we can make it happen. Yeah. So that's how I kind of we kind of try and base our range on, really.
Yeah, and one of the things that I particularly like, and indeed own one myself, is the Judge Dredd badge. Well, the Judge badge that you can customize with your own name.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, we really kind of went into this not knowing how it would come out.
Yeah.
The whole stuff we did, we knew that so long as we could get it as good as we could at a price point that people wanted, it was down to the customer. And literally, those custom badges are our best seller.
Mm.
And it's a solid sale. Every quarter, I can pretty much guarantee how many badges that we do. And they've sold really well.
Yeah.
Like, properly well. And yeah, they're just a really nice thing for people to have. It's a nice little kind of self-awarded trophy, if you like, for being a 2000 AD fan.
Absolutely. Well, you've spoken about working on 2000 AD prop replicas to be a career highlight. How long have you been a reader? What does 2000 AD mean to you?
My very first issue, ironically, as now we're talking about it, I can't remember the physic number, but it was the very first appearance of Nemesis.
Right.
And I can remember being on holiday with my mum and dad, and that issue was bought for me, probably to shut me up. I was probably around 9-ish, maybe, right. 8 or 9. And yeah, I think my kind of relationship with 2000 AD is that it literally always grew up with me in my back pocket.
Yeah.
I just loved artwork. The story is kind of funny with me with comics, it's artwork. It's sort of almost the story is secondary.
Yeah.
I just get drawn into the artwork and I just love looking at this gorgeous work. And that's how 2000 AD stayed with me. I'm one of those typical readers that you've probably love to hate, where I drifted off around the mid to late 90s, because that's when I finished going to college and your whole life just disappears.
Yeah.
And your whole radar is completely buggered and you just don't know where you're going, who you're going to be with or anything like that. And yeah, so that's me with 2000 AD. I've always known it. It's always been there. And the artwork on my walls of 2000 AD. So, you know, it's just been fantastic for me.
So let's talk about the biggest item that you sell from Planet Replicas, which is the full Judge uniform based on the comics. Tell us a bit about the gestation of that and the artistic influences, the artists from 2000 AD who you drew on for the design of that.
Yeah. Well, originally it was it was going to be a one-off something for that Judge Minty film. Being a Dredd fan, I just had it in my head. I didn't really need to reference artwork because I just did what I kind of remembered.
Yeah.
So I didn't really reference anything particular. I didn't have pictures of Bolland. I didn't have McMahon on my wall or anything like that to sort of sculpt from. I just did it from memory.
Mm.
And because of the materials I was using, I didn't physically use clay or anything like that. It was all hard-edged materials. And that's how it kind of evolved in its look.
Mm.
I just tried to make it look as if it would just be to scale.
Yeah.
Without trying to lose the grandeur of the armor that it's kind of evolved into from Carlos's early kind of work. So it's kind of gone... That's how it kind of evolved, really. It was just a one-off job that's kind of worked scale wise and thankfully seemed to work with pretty much any body form that it sits on.
Having worn one for the entirety of my first San Diego Comic Con, it was great, but I do wonder how the judges managed to police me to see who won with those absolutely humongous shoulder pads. I mean, thing is, the ones on your kit aren't even that big, but I was still nearly poking people's eyes out when I walked past them.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's good in a way. Yeah. It is very empowering when you do have it on, and you do kind of feel quite butch and sort of stuff. But
I've never felt butch in my entire life. I'm sorry.
But yeah, the physicality of wearing it. There's a lot of design faults on it. You know, just like having a chain would be the first thing that somebody would grab hold of to give you a really good whack. So, but from that point of view, it's kind of worked very well, thankfully. So it's been good.
And it's not just Judge Dredd stuff that you offer either, is it? You've got products for other 2080 properties.
Yes, I'm a huge Rogue Trooper fan, and one of the first products that we did do was the Rogue Trooper USB biochip. Going back, I can actually remember you telling me that when you announced that was one of the highest click-through rates that you'd ever had.
Absolutely.
On your 2000 AD. I think that's the thing that we're always, both of us as companies, are quite sort of keen on, is that regards to 2000 AD, it's not just Judge Dredd. He is possibly the sort of the kingpin of everything, but at the same time, there's a huge, gorgeous array of sort of IP which still needs to be done. So, yeah, we've got Rogue Trooper and Strontium Dog on the way. So, lots to come.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your work setup, because it's just you at Planet Replicas, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think this is sort of the thing that most people get wrong, and that's partly kind of, I'd never wanted to come across as being too small, but at the same time, I've kind of punched above my weight quite a few times. I've always been a self-employed sole trader. So when Planet Replicas was set up, I did have a business partner, and we set up a limited company, which is how I'm trading today. I do work from home. The whole of my attic is gutted and completely sort of kitted out as an office. I have a pretty good workshop at the sort of bottom of my garden, which just is full of dust at the moment, but it's a good setup. It just means, sadly, that I can never really switch off. I am surrounded as I talk by a load of boxes that need to go out, etc. So I'm kind of completely self-contained. Everything that I can do physically is done in the UK, so it's kind of working so far, but I do need bigger premises now.
Brilliant. Now we've got a couple of exclusive special announcements about stuff that's coming up for all the merchandise fans out there. Do you want to tell us first about the statue that you've got coming?
Okay, the first statue we've got is one that I'm actually really chuffed to do. As you all guys probably know, is that Dan Dare is now being reprinted with 2000 AD.
This November.
This November, which is interesting because I've got a fairly narrow window to get everything done with that. But on the back of the Dan Dare permissions that you've got, I've now got permission to do the Mekon. And the Mekon for me is probably one of the most iconic and original sci-fi baddies ever done. I actually can't really think of an earlier baddie, to be honest. So he's always been a classic, and I love the Mekon anyway. I've got Mekon artwork on my wall, etc. So the first one is coming out is the Mekon. We've had all the preliminary sculpts done by another 2000 AD artist, actually, Alex Ronald. Alex Ronald is doing the sculpts for that. Most of them are done, and we're hoping to move quite quickly on this to get it out as soon as we can. So,
and it sounds fantastic. You're basing it on Dave Gibbons's interpretation from the 2000 AD strip.
We kind of are looking at Bernard Donnelly, if I pronounce that right. He's got a
Bella Donnelly version too. Yeah.
But Leland and X, thank you. But yeah, sort of the Gibbons version is more generic across the board. And sort of I wanted to make sure that everybody knows what the Mekon looks like, and that interpretation really kind of hits the nail on the head, that it will please both the original Eagle kind of Dandare fans as well as the 2000 AD fans that you've attracted. So it's kind of a good crossover Mekon without offending too many people either way. So it's looking good. It's looking very good.
Brilliant, brilliant. And there's also another statue that's coming. This one based on the Dread movie.
It is, yes. The next Dread that we're doing is going to be a movie Dread. Mm. And that will be based on the work of Henry Flint. Henry's quite tied up at the moment with existing work. You're working him too hard. Please, can I have him back?
We are not working him hard enough, damn it.
Yes. So, yes, it will be a Judge Dredd statue based on the movie Dredd. I've got a couple of ideas I'm going to run past Henry, but the plan being Henry is going to do a bespoke commission for us. And much like the McMahon statue, we're hoping for a poster and statue sort of variant of it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this quite a lot. I think, again, Alex Ronald has suggested that he'd love to do the sculpt for us. I actually think he's going to have quite a hard time on it, but we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be good.
I mean, you mentioned the McMahon statues that you've done. How well did those go down? Because you did variants of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually with me now in the UK, finally. Mm. First statue project we did. It was kind of weird because the drawing it was based on was a black and white. It was never coloured in. And we were just very conscious that there's quite a few different angles we could have gone with it. And in the pre-production phase, we realised that what we had was an opportunity to do all of them because it was only a paint finish. So rather than just limit it to one finish, one design, we decided to do all four. Kind of regretting it now because it's just so much logistical work for shipping out and everything like that. But yeah, the bottom line is we sort of did really well with how we managed to sort of get it out. And looking like McMahon, because obviously it's a 3D interpretation of quite a loose but very sort of free McMahon drawing of a period that he's now kind of left behind in the progress of his work. So, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. And in terms of the feedback that you get from fans, what's that been like?
It's been very good. It is just me. And yeah. I take everything very personally. It's kind of being creative, you can't help put yourself into it. And yeah. It's very easy to put the extra 5 hours in an afternoon just to try and make it as good as you can. So I've tried my hardest all the time. And you just really hope that comes out in the finished product. And hopefully the fans will agree too. Thankfully people do write to us and just say, received my badge today, received our lawgiver today, thank you very much, it's awesome. And you'll get a nice amount of those every month, and it's great. And it's just really nice just to have some sort of feedback, because the internet being the internet, it's just very easy. The only reason why people go on now is to moan, I think. it's just sad. So to get people actually taking the time to personally write and say thank you is a huge thing. And it's good that the fans have sort of, kind of taken to us. I think it can be a hard sell. So
well, it's just so nice to be able to have that object there and it to look not just like it does in the comics, but to have a kind of, real chunky manufactured feel to it. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con is this week, and I'm going to have my judge badge with my name on it, which is still sits pride of place on my desk. In terms of the future, I mean, you mentioned about getting new premises. I presume you just want to keep expanding and really provide a variety of different things depending on what, whether a fan is a fan of Judge Dredd or whether it's Front Room Dog or whether it's something else. You want to keep expanding the range of stuff.
Yeah, totally. I mean, 2000 AD has just got a huge IP behind it. It's perfect for what we do as a company. It's the designs are out there. They will make fantastic products. And it's just a case of making sure that people are aware of it for a start. But obviously, people want it. And I just have to sort of make sure that the product we do has a good price point, good range of ideas and everything for everybody to buy into. I mean, people, I've noticed that the people who buy our products aren't necessarily people who normally buy this kind of product.
Right.
It's quite a broad spectrum. It's not just people who will buy anything from Forbidden Planet or whatever. I've had sort of proper judges buying badges off me and things like that, and proper police officers sort of making orders. And it's good. You know, it's not just the typical customer. The thing is, there isn't a typical customer.
Yeah.
And they're not typical 2000 AD readers. So as much as I can get sort of out for different characters, the better, because the future is quite big. There's a lot to still be done. I mean, I've hardly touched Rogue Trooper. And obviously with Strontian Dog, again, we've got the badges. They're due out later this year. Of talking with Keith about that sort of earlier last month about when they'll be released. But the Strontium badge is probably the next bigger kind of badge out. So, brilliant. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about police officers buying judge badges. That's that's a little disturbing.
Well, a little byline off that, I was actually showing some of my work to a licensee one day in a coffee shop, and some police officers walked in because I had guns out, literally. And they said, we were thinking, oh, hang on, what's going on? And then we realized that it was all Judge Dredd stuff, so we've actually come in to have a look, if you don't mind. So, yes, I think there's a little sort of a, yeah. I think most people know Judge Dredd, so they're all cool with it.
Brilliant. So there's a link on the 2080 website to the Planet Replicas site, but do you want to tell us what the URL is for people who want to look at your products either for themselves or as a gift for others?
Yeah, sure. It's just the usual www.planetreplicas.com.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, really looking forward to seeing the Mekon and the Dredd statue, which thank you very much for announcing those exclusively on the Thrillcast. And good luck with all the stuff you're bringing out this year, Dan.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Brilliant. Cheers now. Now, this week, of course, it's San Diego Comic-Con, and joining us on the line from California is Greg from 3A to talk a little bit about what they're going to be exclusively unveiling at the convention. Welcome to the Thrillcast, Greg.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us a bit about 3A, because you've worked with 2080 for a little while now, haven't you?
We've been... Originally, we're a toy company based in Hong Kong. It's a project from Ashley Wood and Kim Fung Wong, who's a toy maker, who's been involved with the toy scene for about 20 years in the urban vinyl and designer toys. And Ash is a comic book artist who's been working with everybody for maybe probably 20 years now. He's doing 2080 and Marvel and some DC projects. But currently he does mostly work for IDW or himself. So we got 2080 just because it's a dream project for both of us. We both grew up reading it and, sorry. I think I just started rambling.
No. Rambling is good. So, what's your part in all of this? What's your role at 3A?
I wear many hats. So I am the lead on the 2080 line. I work with Ash and our engineer Curtis, and we basically do design and put together all the 2080 figures for for people to check out.
Okay, excellent. Now you've already done a few figures. Of course, there was Tharg the Mighty from a few years ago, and you've also done Mongol, one of the ABC warriors. What's your primary focus when you're creating these models? Is it for them to look good or to adhere to the way that they look in the comics? What's the aim?
We're trying to capture it. We want them to look as cool and like, you know, we want it to capture kind of the awe that you got when you first opened up the books or saw the covers.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it really depends on the character. Like with something like Dredd, you can look at, you know, any number of key artists like Bolland or Ascara, or, you know, even what Stables is doing right now, and just sort of pulling elements from that to you know, make it more an original design for like more 3A design, which we do, like kind of more stylized, not necessarily realistic sculpts at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to just sort of capture that essence, and also, you know, find like the details we really like. Like with you know, we're working on Hammerstein right now, and so we're really trying to make it look like the, you know, the first McMahon cover.
Yeah.
Of ABC Warriors, or you know, what's on the current the cover of the, like the Mech Files, the first book there.
Yeah, that's a glorious cover.
Yeah, just, you know, we're trying to capture kind of key moments and make turn that into 3D, but it's not always easy.
Yeah. Well, I guess there are compromises with anything like this, because to a certain extent, comic book artists don't necessarily have to worry about whether it would work in real life, but you've got to make sure that it stands up of its own accord, you know?
Right, yeah. Like, you have to, you know, weight is something that it never gets factored into it. So you have very top heavy, or like, you know, one arm is really, really heavy, so yeah, it kind of tips over. But so you have to finagle things in a way that it'll work, it'll make a cool toy.
Has there been a moment where you've been looking at the source material and you think that just is not going to work in real life?
Oh yeah. I had that same feeling when we decided to make Gronk.
Yes, yeah.
I was like, there's no way this is going to work. Like, a you know, 4-inch tall, furry creature. There's no way it's going to look good.
Yeah.
But it I'm actually really, really happy with how he turned out. It's phenomenal.
I mean, that's an interesting one to choose, because obviously he's a character, a minor character from 2000 from Strontium Dog. Right. Why did you decide to do Gronk for San Diego?
Because no one else would really, you know, what other company would kind of go for those more obscure, like deeper pulls?
Yeah,
and it's just, they're cool. They're just so cool. I think we really just sort of pick the characters we really love and you know, find amusing and think would just be great to have sitting on your desk and to play with. Yeah. You know, who doesn't want to have a tiny judge fish just to sit by your lap, like your computer, while you work?
Well, I was going to ask about the judge fish, because obviously that's another little very, very popular character from the history of Judge Dredd, from the day the law died. The scale of these, I think, is absolutely fascinating. That because how big are the Gronk and Judge Fish going to be?
I think Judge Fish, like with the badge, is a little under 2 inches.
Wow!
Very small, very detailed for something so tiny, but it's in scale, or I guess slightly upscaled, to fit in with this 6-inch line of figures, and they're, you know, we want to make them with, you know, real fur, and or well, synthetic fur, but you know, with fabric clothing, and just as detailed and as nice as we can make them, and really. Mm. Really weather them up, like make them look like they live in that world.
Yeah. And now, in terms of the process from sort of deciding what figure you're going to do through to things actually going out to customers, what's the kind of average span between those two points?
It just depends. A lot of the sculpts have take about a year to make. Some of them go faster than others. It just depends on the design and if you know getting the sculptor to kind of capture exactly what you want. But it can be anywhere. Usually from like pre-order window to shipping, it's about 6 months on average.
Right. Okay. And it's a relatively modern. I mean, we all remember toys from when we were kids. You know, I used to collect Transformers when I was little. But these are very much figures intended for an adult audience. Number one, why do you think there is such an adult audience for figures like the 2008 line? And how does that figure into the way that you do things? Because I guess you're kind of not appealing to nostalgia, but also wanting things to look cool as well.
Yeah, a lot of it is just, I think the people that you know grew up playing with Transformers and action figures and toys are now, they're getting older. They're the people in comic shops.
yeah,
that's not really, if you go to a Toys R Us and it's kind of a terrible scene. There's the audience just really isn't there anymore so yeah. much. So I think a lot of people want to capture that sort of nostalgia with the toys. Especially like, you go to a place like Comic-Con or San Diego Comic-Con or any of those conventions and you're going to, it's primarily adults that are purchasing the toys. I think they're also the people that have, the money to spare to spend on action figures that are, they're not cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's always that moment at the beginning of San Diego when the doors open and you hear this stampede of people and they're all running to the My Little Pony stand or, or the Transformers stand. You think, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, in terms of the stuff that 3A have announced recently, you've got a Judge Death figure coming. You've got a Robo Hunter, and of course, you've got the little Judge Fish and the Gronk figures at San Diego Comic Con. But you're going to have some prototypes at San Diego, aren't you? Do you want to tell us a little bit about those? Because today's the big reveal through the Thrillcast and the Thrill Mail. Everybody's going to get to hear about these. Tell us a bit about them.
Okay, so we're finally we've been talking about Dread for years and years, and everyone has been clamoring, asking where the 3A Dread is, and it is debuting at the show.
Excellent.
So I couldn't be happier to finally put it out there and let see it and judge it for itself.
But, pun intended.
Exactly. We'll have a Dread. We're bringing the Lawmaster prototype with us.
Wow!
And it looks amazing.
Excellent.
I'm so happy with it. We're really stoked, and it's got the great like McMahon like esque guns on the tires from the Cursed Earth.
Brilliant.
We were very particular about adding on there, and I mean, it really looks like there's that Greg Staples cover from year one, I think, or one of the IDW comics, and it looks like it just popped out of that cover.
Wow,
it's beautiful. We also have Judge Fear, which we've been working on for a while, and I think people will be very, very excited to see him.
Brilliant. Brilliant. He's going to be the same scale as the Judge Death that you've got coming as well, I presume.
I think with the helmet, he's just slightly taller. and with the cape, it's just so imposing.
Yeah.
And he'll come with a severed limb accessory and the bear claw.
Brilliant. Oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing those now. Now, sort of talking beyond San Diego and you know, Dread and Fear and Lore Master and everything is fantastic. But you've also got more, not just from the world of Dread, but also more ABC Warriors figures coming out, haven't you?
Yes. We're working away on Hammerstein, and it's coming together. It's taken a little longer than we expected with the sculpt, but Ash has a very specific vision he wants for it, which is that McMahon cover, and really wants to capture those first, you know, few issues of that book, the first storylines, and get Hammerstein right. And I don't know, I'd really like to get like the Robuster's head on him too, and just as maybe a variant, but we'll see.
And the, you're also looking to do more of sort of the side characters of Dread as well. So Giant and Anderson and Hershey.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got one of the nice things about having the Dread sculpt finally done is it's on a new body, which we've created like in for 1/12 scale, and we'll be reusing that sort of body with different clothing to do Judge Giant, who will have, you know, a helmeted and unhelmeted head. Trying to base his appearances on from the Pit storyline.
Right. Wow.
So it's slowly getting there.
Yeah.
But I think people will be pleased to have more judges, and we'll put our own spin on sort of the costume and colors and everything.
Yeah.
And then we're working on Johnny Alpha.
Brilliant.
And with Anderson and Hershey, they have to take a little bit more time, as we have to develop a new 6-inch female body that can fit in with the scale of the. You know, the other characters we've been working on. But sort of like a large feat to engineer a new body completely.
Yeah.
So that it can be, you know, reused for other characters eventually down the line. Cause you have to be smart about it.
Absolutely. And now these current figures, they're all, 1/12 scale. Yeah. You started off the range in 1/6 back in the day, didn't you?
Yes.
And are there plans to return to that scale, or are you going to stay at 1/12?
No, in 2016 we'll be bringing back 2080 characters in 1/6 scale with Dread, Judge Death, Anderson, and Johnny Alpha. We really want to finally get these characters in 1/6 scale, and give them the attention and detail that they deserve. And I think a lot of fans have been asking for them.
Yeah. I mean, is it always tempting to kind of just start dreaming about all the things you want to do and
I want an in scale Satanus. Just a 2-foot long dinosaur. I like dream of that.
Yeah. You'll have to do him with a little Thoth from.
That'd be amazing
to go alongside him. That'd be awesome, brilliant. Well, Greg, that sounds like a fantastic lot of work that you've got coming up over the next couple of years.
Yep, we're gonna be busy.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be cool. It'll be very cool.
Brilliant. And it's really nice to hear that you guys are kind of, you know, as enthused by these classic stories as anybody, but you know, you want to pay attention to what makes those images iconic, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's really, really, you know, we try to we end up getting a little in our heads too much and pulling a lot of, you know, deep references that maybe only the fans would get and not sort of general audiences.
Mm.
So we, you know, we'll do a black and white edition of the character, and you know, we wanted to with the Judge Death, we wanted to do it called the Necropolis Edition, you know, as a reference to the storyline.
Yeah.
But it, you know, our from a marketing standpoint, it doesn't make sense because, you know, people in Asia are not going to maybe necessarily be familiar with the Necropolis storyline. So sure. We'll have classic comic editions of them, which is kind of the banner of the black and white editions of a lot of these figures.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the Thrillcast and announcing what sounds like a great lineup over the next couple of years.
That's cool. Thank you.
It's quiz time. Now, we've just spoken to Greg from 3A and mentioned the Judge Death figure that they're doing, which reminds me that you still have time to enter the first Thrillcast competition. You can win, appropriately enough, a licensed skateboard from Heroin Skateboard showing Judge Death himself. All you need to do to win this exclusive bit of merchandise, which has sold out on the Heroin website, is to answer this question. What is Judge Death's real name? What is Judge Death's real name? Now, write that down in an email and send that email to thrillcast, all one word, at 2000adonline.com, and we shall randomly choose a winner so they can receive a fantastic Heroin Skateboards deck featuring Judge Death. Now, another of the licensees we're working with here at 2000 AD is Unbox Industries. And on the phone, we have Dan Willett from Unbox. Welcome to the Thrillcast, Dan.
Hello, Mike. Thanks very much for having me.
No worries, no worries. Let's talk about Unbox's relationship with 2000 AD. How did you first start working with us?
Well, my relationship with 2000 AD actually started before Unbox. I had the privilege of working for, like, I guess for want of a better description, a designer toy store in London called Play Lounge.
Mm.
And I actually reached out. We wanted to do some projects, and we reached out to 2000 AD about doing an exhibition of utilising the contemporary artists who are in that kind of, like, designer toy universe and matching up with, like, the originals.
Yeah.
And the exhibition was in Covent Garden. It's called Zar Jazz, which I don't know how long ago that was now. It's, I think maybe like 2008, 2007, I don't know. It's a long time ago. But, sure. Yeah, I mean, we worked with Rufus Dago, who was very accommodating, supplied all the original art, and then yeah. We went with the new guys. It was an incredible show. I think there was the attendance over the month, because Christmas period, it was about between 10 and 12,000 people
wow.
came through, which was it was phenomenal. And the amount of love and the diversity of attendance was, you know, incredible. People from Europe, all over the place. Mainly, the main attraction was Rufus's, like, just breathtaking collection of artwork that he kindly loaned for the show. So that was the first thing. And then after that, basically fast forward a few years, got made redundant, started a company, and then started Unbox, which was essentially like the kind of the Black Ops division that did all the R&D and, like, 3D development prototyping. And from there, like, I thought, well, look, one of my loves and the catalyst for what I'm doing is 2000 AD. So I reached out again, I think, at that point to, I think it was at Keith Richardson, and then just got it on from there. So the first figure we released was with Pete Fowler, and that was the Nemesis the Warlock figurine.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, that was a few years back. And then we just kind of, Greg had to find a fix. We're still, like, working things out production-wise, and here we are, like, a few years on from that, like, a far more fluid operation, and we've got, you know, and 2000 have been a very accommodating, supportive, and now we've got this, like, quite a huge, like, portfolio of projects planned with you guys.
Brilliant, brilliant. And what's the ethos of Unbox? I mean, you know, 3A do you know, those high end figures where there's every little detail. Planet Replicas are all about, you know, the replica side of things that people can hold in their hands. What's Unbox's USP? What do you bring to the 2000 AD?
I'm a very selfish manufacturer. I just bring what I love and the things that stimulated me. And I'm in a very privileged position. Everything we do, and much to the frustration of our design development team, I said, right, I want to. Well, I mean, we mainly manufacture like in vinyl, so we've got like non-articulated like statues, which we've got forthcoming, and then like classic like Japanese style vintage rotomolded vinyl, and then also we've got like classic like 3.75 inch scale figures. So as diverse as it gets. So we're not really following one plan of style. It's just whatever kind of sparks that inspiration, and working with Keith or any of you guys there, and if there's a good idea, we'll just run with it and see how it develops. It's a bit more organic, but for me, like aesthetically, it's got to be quite as faithful to like the original artist as can in some circumstances. But if not, then as stylistically diverse, it really stands out from the crowd, because you know there's so much product out there now. We want to do something that makes an impact, and that the collectors are happy to have on shelf.
Talking about collectors, it was one of the questions I asked Keith earlier in this episode about, why make these toys? Why make these figures and everything? Because, we all remember when we were young collecting Transformers I used to collect Legionaries figures with the holograms all over them back in the day.
Yeah.
But he was saying, those kids who collected those have all grown up now, and it's interesting that the way you talk about 2000 AD, there's still the enthusiasm there, but you're creating things for the fans.
It's a very interesting statement. We do. I mean, toy manufacturing is very, very expensive, and the final doing what I love, and but also communicating to the fans, and getting the price points right. And it's funny. I think we grew up with, we're a generation of collectors, or especially toy collectors. I think I'm like 43 now, and never into football, never wanted to go outside, just wanted to collect toys and gum cards and comics. And it's in the blood, And maybe, I don't know, maybe we're a dying breed, I'm not sure. But I think that passion still lies there. And when you see something beautiful, or I perceive, a toy's art, they're works of engineering genius, some of the things, especially like the likes of what 3A do, you just want to have it. It's the type of thing you would have loved as a kid and probably couldn't afford it. I definitely couldn't afford it. But now you've got a little bit more disposable income. You want it and you want it on the shelf, and maybe not necessarily give it a play, but it looks good. So that's it.
Brilliant. Well, let's talk about the future. What's coming up from Unbox? What are the exclusive announcements that you have for us on the Thrillcast?
Well, I think we've seemed to have like moved into three channels. I know we're very respectful of what Dan at Planet Replicas is doing, like the fantastic work on his statues and everything else, and of course like 3A with their 1/6 and 1/12 scale. So we're concentrating on the non-articulated figurines. We've announced the McMahon Dread, and we've got a Bolland Death after that, and then subject to like support from the 2000 fans, that'll hope to justify us manufacturing more like non-articulated figures based on like classic artistic interpretations. That's been very, very exciting for me, and I know the McMahon bit has had some very mixed opinions, but the reason we did the McMahon as a non-articulated figurine is because the actual like anatomical design of him, just wouldn't work for a toy. So I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to realise contemporary McMahon, so that's why we did that. So we've got those gone. Then we're doing like more of our like high-end like rotomolded figures. They stand about like classic like softly like Japanese vinyl size, which is about 22 centimeters. So that range we've got approval. It's worth the truth. There's a Simon Bisley, Joe Pineapples, and a Brendan McCarthy. So we've got the Action 2000 line, which we're working with a guy called Aaron Moreno from Texas. He works under the name of Retro Band, and he's got a huge following for doing like 80s style figures, but in resin, all handmade and just beautiful. But the resale value on them is like thousands of dollars. But we've commissioned him to interpret a lot of the like just classic 2000s characters, like feel like Ace Garth, or the, I hope you can do like Matt Talon, and just other bits and pieces of some obscurity you'd never see. But it's so, kind of like Star Wars figure size, but the reason for doing the obscurities and keeping it a short run is because usually the price of those figures is injection moulding, which is really, really expensive, but we've got a fantastic factory that can do like a rotor moulded figure. So unfortunately, you don't have the range of articulation, but you do have the aesthetic. And the way I see it, like, you know, now a little bit older, you know, the packaging and everything else is really, really important. So it's more of something you just collect and place and gaze at the right and play with. Because, you know, like Zombo and things like that, this allows us to make like units in the hundreds. If we had to go to injection molding, like the Star Wars figures or those type of things, then you have to pay tens and tens of thousands of dollars to get the set up and get the manufacturing going.
Sure.
And there's a few surprises. I mean, Zombo has just performed brilliantly. It should be stock in the UK, available from 2000 AD, I think next week. So yeah, there's those going. And again, basically, we really appreciate the support and the feedback from 2000 AD fans, be it online or especially via Instagram. Their feedback's really important. So if people can engage with us and give us direction as what to release, we'll do it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, I mean, you mentioned the Zombo figure there. I've got one on my desk, and it's great to see attention paid not just to the figure itself, but also to the packaging, because you've got some great kind of retro kind of 1980s packaging on there, haven't you?
That's right. I mean, again, but that's thanks to you guys. I mean, we love working with 2000 AD and the creative input and the support you give us and the direction. So, and it's the level of flexibility working with you guys is like unparalleled. So, you know, what you see is a combined effort, which in licensing, usually because we work with Disney and Nintendo, it's so restrictive. But, you know, and that's why it's wonderful. One, it's 2000 AD, which is like the, you know, one of the most important things in my life when I was a kid, and kind of, you know, still is important now. And as I said, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for 2000 AD. And, you know, to have that opportunity to work with, it's such a privilege, you know, and work well. So we're very lucky.
Right. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, thanks very much indeed for coming on the Philcast, Dan. We really appreciate it. And it's great to hear about some of the stuff you've got coming up.
Thank you. All right, all the best. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Well, I'm sure there's some amongst you who are absolutely wetting themselves at the prospect of some of the things that have been announced today. So thank you to Keith, Dan, Greg and Dan for coming onto the Philcast and talking about the merchandise that we have coming up from 2000 AD. Don't forget, you can visit the websites of all three of the licensees that we've talked to this week by visiting www.planetreplicas.com. www.worldof3a, that's worldof3a.com and unboxindustries.co.uk. Those of you who are coming to San Diego this weekend, we look forward to seeing you. Do drop by the 2000 AD booth at number 2806 by Lobby C. We will be back in 2 weeks with, fingers crossed, a recording of the San Diego Comic-Con panel, which will feature none other than Carl Sesquera and also Andy Diggle and hopefully one or two other people to talk to the audience there about 2000 AD. And what we have coming up, we've got some great announcements. So tune in 2 weeks' time, where we will be talking to some of the cream of the creators at the galaxy's greatest comic at San Diego Comic-Con. Now, are you reading the galaxy's greatest comic? 2000 AD is in orbit every Wednesday from all good newsagents and comic book stores. 2000 AD is also available digitally. You can get PDF copies, which are DRM-free, from our website at www.2000adonline.com, or you can download the free 2000 AD app for Apple and Android devices. Now, you get that by searching for 2000 space AD in iTunes and the Google Play Store. There's also the Judge Dredd magazine, which is published in print and digital every month with more pages, more Dredd-centric stories, special features, and a bagged reprint magazine featuring forgotten 2000 AD classics. And don't forget that are graphic novels, including absolute timeless classics like Strontium Dog, Ace Trucking, Flesh, Judge Dredd, Slain, Robo Hunter, and many, many more, are also available digitally through our webshop and app. We're on social media with the latest announcements, competitions and freebies. Search on Facebook and Google Plus for 2000 AD. If you're on Instagram, we're Insta 2000AD, and you can follow us on Twitter, where we are at 2000AD. In the meantime, all hail Tharg the Mighty and Splundig Verthrig, Earthlets.